everyone, and welcome to episode 40 of the Love of the Mouse podcast. I'm your host, Matt Merlino. It's been quite a while since we were behind the mic recording a new episode. Over a year at this point, almost. I believe our last live recording was in April of 2020. So, like I said, very, very long time. Very excited to be back doing this again. And once again, I'm joined by my fiance, Tori. So that's a new thing that has happened in the past year.
Yeah, still same me, just a new title.
I mean, are you happy with that title?
I am.
Okay, well,
you must know.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So it's been a while since we've done this.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're a little rusty, we apologize.
Yeah, I think we've already started and stopped like 5 times.
The listeners don't need to know that. I'm going to edit this a little bit.
The dog was walking. She was making noise. I ate too much chocolate, so my mouth sounded weird. Like, it was a whole issue.
Well, we're past that now, yeah. And we're rolling, so...
Off topic.
Yeah. We'll see how this goes. Try not to hit as many tangents as we used to.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're both super professional now. That's a big thing. That was a joke.
That wasn't in my contract.
Yeah, we're sitting here drinking alcohol.
I guess this episode is brought to you by White Claw.
No, it is not.
Black Cherry, if you must know.
Stop. No. So today we are going to be talking about some of our favorite Disney memories.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought it would be great to kind of reintroduce the podcast with something that seems like a very easy conversation to have.
It's familiar.
It's very familiar.
That's familiar to everyone.
Yeah, and it's something that we end up talking about because I miss the parks and just Disney in general so much. Not only because of the whole COVID pandemic that has been going on. Like, I haven't been to the parks since September of 2019. So this is like the longest period of time that I have gone without stepping foot in a Disney park. And that wasn't even because of the pandemic. We just didn't have any trips.
I mean,
planned.
Going from you having a season pass and you went
annual
forward?
Pass.
Sorry.
Season Sorry. Pass. What is this, Kennywood?
But going from you went like 4 times.
I went 4 times in a year,
in the year
and
to the
7
cold
times.
Turkey.
Yes, and 7 times in a span
addicted.
Of 3 years.
Yeah.
So it was rather rough transitioning from that being, you know, one of the things that
you look forward to. And
well, yeah, absolutely looking forward to, but almost like a guarantee in some way, shape, or form for a year, where it was like September to September, I knew always there was another trip on the horizon. And since then, it's been like, well, damn, when am I going to go back?
Yeah.
So it's been tough, but, you know, this is one of those outlets to kind of...
feel better, at least.
No, don't make it sound depressing.
Make you sleep better at night.
No.
Relive all the happy memories and cry to yourself later.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Let's go with that. But yeah, that's something that I have really kind of thought a lot about recently, just kind of wanting to get back into the podcast because, you know... obviously, I was very passionate about doing this whenever I was going regularly, but it's also an outlet to kind of talk about Disney whenever I don't get to experience it as much. So, obviously, I love connecting with everybody on social media. I've grown our Twitter following quite a bit since the podcast stopped. Like, we're close to 2,000 followers on Twitter now, which is crazy, because I think whenever I had the annual pass, I was only at, like, 400 or something like that.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So, Twitter has really grown. Instagram, I don't know what the hell's wrong with their algorithm, but...
blame it on the algorithm.
Yeah. You know, our content's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've actually kind of rebranded. So that's been one of the real big kind of kickers over the course of the past few months, where I've kind of been working a lot behind the scenes to launch our new brand, Love of the Mouse Multimedia. So it's not only the podcast anymore. We're going to potentially get into vlogging at some point whenever I have more motivation to do that. And I'm willing to show my face and all of my screw-ups on camera. We're going to be offering design services, which we do on the side quite a bit. now, where I have worked with Capture the Magic podcast, Main Street Magic, the Morning Monorail, Disney Discussions, all of these other podcasts in the Disney community that are very well known. I've worked with them on different design projects, apparel, all of these things that are coming to be more of the focus for me, because aside from, you know, Disney, design is my real passion, and art is my passion. I'm not a radio personality by any means, if you couldn't tell by my voice and my stumbling. So that's where we are now, and that's kind of what we're looking towards in the future. So we have a lot of fun stuff planned. But to kind of get back into the swing of the episode, we wanted to kind of reflect on our trips and just relive Disney in a different light to bring the parks into our apartment. So, and into your ears too, because you're going to be listening to us. It doesn't really matter where you are.
That's so weird. Bring it into your ears.
I mean, yeah.
So then you can be sad with Matt.
Yeah. So if you haven't been to a Disney park where the pandemic has put any kind of trip on the back burner for you, hopefully this episode brings a little positivity and a little bit of fun Disney magic to your daily life.
Yeah. Maybe relive a few memories of your own.
Yes. Absolutely. So these are just some of our favorite things. I'm sure, like, we made a list in advance of, you know, the things that we really wanted to touch on, where we narrowed it down to 5 each, but I can almost guarantee we're going to go off, and once we start talking, it's just going to go off the rails, and we're going to bring up so many different things, because one memory is going to spark another, and it's just going to be, you know... I'm going to try and keep it short, because I know I'm going to ramble.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've already rambled.
I feel like we should set a timer. We should, like, flip an hourglass for you.
Yeah.
You get in a minute 30 to dwell on your memories.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. It's definitely going to be... It's going to be a well-thought-out episode, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you couldn't tell... already has been a well thought out episode. It's just me stumbling on my thoughts as I progress. So, we're off to a great start.
Well, unlike Matt, my last trip was in July of 2019.
Yes.
And that was with Ted and Jan, those Matt's parents.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the last trip that I went on, and I've been to the parks 4 times?
5.
5 times?
You've been there 5 times, a whole handful.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. We went the first time in March of 2017. Then we went in March of 2018. June of 2018, whenever Gage gave us passes for the weekend.
Oh, wow, yeah.
We went with Mark and Mariah, and we went with my parents.
Yeah, that must be what I was forgetting.
The solo trip. Or yeah. Not the solo trip, well, the weekend trip, yes. That Gage gave us tickets.
Yeah, our infamous 4 parks in 1 day trip.
Yes.
That trip.
Yeah. So that's... That's a good tease right there, because I know we're going to be talking about that.
Yeah, it was hard to forget. My feet will never be the same.
I think we had, because we were both religiously wearing Fitbits at that point.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that was, like, both of us were over, like, 40,000 steps.
Yeah. It was insane.
It was nuts.
And I'm sure, like, people do that. That's probably, like, a typical trip for some people, but... That's exhausting.
Oh, yeah. For 1 day, yeah, that's definitely, it's a blast doing that.
I definitely recommend it. I mean, do we want to talk about this memory now, or do you want to?
Yeah, let's just jump right into it. Let's jump right in.
So, we went on this trip. It was a very brief weekend trip. We were only there for the full day Saturday,
Sunday. We flew in Saturday.
Okay.
We went to...
See, I'm not reliable at all.
Yeah. So we flew in Saturday, we went to Disney Springs. Once we got in, we kind of walked around the resort. We stayed at Art of Animation that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That was our first time, for both of us, staying at any Disney resort in any capacity. We had only ever stayed off property.
That's right, yeah.
So we stayed at Art of Animation because that was like my number one resort that I wanted to stay at. And I paid way too much money to stay at Art of Animation because I didn't look into deals. I just called Disney and was like, hey, what do you have
at Art of Animation? Let me stay here.
Yeah. And they were like, oh, great. You could pay like $250. I was like, sold. I was like,
yeah.
And I could have easily got, you know, another value resort, but...
I do remember that. We spent so much time walking around the resort and seeing... Because all of the... So that was the place that, too, that we stayed that we were not... That we were not in a preferred room.
Yes.
So, like, we were back... If you've ever stayed at Art of Animation, we were back in the aerial section.
Little Mermaid.
The Little Mermaid section.
And those are the only...
Which is the farthest place on the planet to walk to.
Yes. Those are the only, I guess, standard rooms in that resort. Yeah. So, everything else...
Which they were great, like...
Oh, yeah, the room was great.
Just so far.
But that's, like, the only place that they could have put us.
Yeah.
At the time, because all of the other sections at that resort, with Lion King, Nemo, and Cars, they're all family suites.
Yeah.
So, that's the kicker
of... Party of two.
Yeah. Whenever it's just the two of us, yeah. It's what you kind of... The trade-off. Because yeah, we stayed at Pop, and...
That's right.
That's right next to Art of Animation. We stayed there a year later, and it's still in the same category as Art of Animation, but the difference is immense when it comes to location.
Right. So we started the day Saturday just like looking around, whatever, and then Sunday was our actual 4 days, or four parks in one day. Yes. Where did we start?
We started at Animal Kingdom because we wanted to rope drop Flight of Passage.
Mm.
So this was before, it was the week before Toy Story Land opened. So everything at Hollywood Studios was relatively quiet. So we actually did not ride Rock and Roller Coaster that day, but Hollywood Studios was very dead from what I remember, just because it was literally the week before.
Going back to Animal Kingdom, I remember like speed walking / like sprinting, like once they actually dropped the rope and we could go to, because that's where everyone was going.
Yes.
And we got in line and it probably was only like 25 minutes.
I would even say less. Like yeah. We were probably within the first boarding
They didn't even like cut us off at all. Yeah. Like we just like
we
kept walking through.
Right onto
which
the ride.
Was pretty cool.
Yeah. And we didn't even get there that late that morning.
No.
Or that early. Like we walked in, waited at the gate, and kind of just made our way to the very front of the line for Flight of Passage, which was freaking awesome.
Within reason. We didn't push.
Oh yeah, no, we weren't like pushing kids out of the way or, you know, throwing people.
We weren't those people.
No.
And then I think we rode
Everest for sure. I think a couple
like
times.
Like 3-4 times.
Because yeah.
Everyone did the same thing and went to Flight of Passage. So like it was wide open.
And I think we did the safari too.
Yeah. All of the staples. Did we eat anything there?
Probably.
Maybe we snacked.
I don't remember honestly. I don't think we ate a ton that day. I think we just snacked around different parks. Like,
yeah.
I remember getting like spring rolls or egg rolls in China at Epcot, the fish and chips at Rose and Crown or Yorkshire.
You're getting ahead.
I know, but I'm just thinking as
what
we
was next? Hollywood Studios?
Yes, we went Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, Epcot, and finished the night at Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
So I think we went over to Hollywood Studios, and like I said, Toy Story Land had not opened yet, so this was the week before. So we went to, I believe, Tower of Terror.
And this was my first time in Hollywood Studios.
Yes.
I had never been to that park up until this trip.
Right.
So that was cool, and that was one of our friends at the time was it not at the time, but she had ended the Disney program by then, but that was the park that she was stationed at. So like that was cool to hear some of the places and things that she would talk about, and then to actually like get to see like where she was.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Was cool.
So I don't remember if we did, I think we did Star Tours, the Star Wars simulator ride. I think we did that. I don't remember. I know you every time we bring up Star Tours, you claim to have never ridden Star Tours.
No, it's a personality trait.
I know for a fact that we, I,
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure we rode Star Tours.
See, now you're second guessing yourself.
But we wouldn't have gone into...
That's what I'm trying to think of, like, what all we did there.
Yeah, we wouldn't have gone into Hollywood Studios, just went to Tower of Terror and then left.
I feel like we tried to do Rock and Roller Coaster. Yes,
and it broke down. And that's when we went to Star Tours.
Yeah.
Because we got a fast pass while we were in line. Oh my gosh,
I did ride Star Tours. You did? I remember that.
Yeah.
Wow. This is eye-opening.
Yeah, so I'm glad we kind of processed that.
I feel like I remember being in that line now that you say that. Is that all we did there?
Because there's I think we took pictures. Oh, we did Toy Story Mania, too. The shooting game.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And you beat me.
I think we, on that trip, too, they one of the, like, performances in the middle of the street that they do.
Yes. They don't do those anymore.
Because of COVID?
Well, they started to lay them off to save money. Oh. So it's a
shame.
Yeah, it's a sore subject for a lot of Disney fans.
We were, like, walking on the street.
Hollywood Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I forget even what they were doing. Like, but I remember, like, the performance. Like, they interacted with us or, like, gave us, like, a card or something.
It was, like, just a fake dollar bill. Because I answered one of his questions.
Yeah.
Like, he was getting people to interact in the crowd. And he picked me to...
Oh my gosh, my memory's so bad. Like, I vaguely remember, but now that you say that, like, I think we still have that dollar bill.
Oh yeah, it's in my,
your little memory bank.
Yep. It absolutely is.
So then after Hollywood Studios, we went to...
Epcot. Mm-hmm.
What did we do in Epcot?
Soarin'. We did Soarin'. Because that was your first time at Epcot as well.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yep. That was your first time at Epcot, so we did Soarin' that day. We probably did Nemo because there was no wait, because there's never a wait for Nemo.
I feel like Nemo gives me a headache because of the terrible, like, CGI Nemo that pops up on the screen.
I mean, there's also that crazy bubble section where they, like, have all of those terribly CGI bubbles.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Where it, like, emulates the EAC.
Yeah, what a fond memory of Nemo to have.
And that building is always freezing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, no, it's the worst.
I love it.
You go from, like, hot Florida weather to, like, immediately needing, like, a cardigan or something.
I also think that was your first introduction to Figment.
Oh, my God. Open my eyes to the horrible creation of...
Figment is great.
The imagination dinosaur.
Journey into a...
Dragon. I don't care.
Okay.
The imagination dragon. Do you hear that? I said it out loud. Say it to yourself and see if that makes sense to you.
He's the figment mascot of your imagination.
And it was the worst ride
I've ever... Oh, it's a terrible ride. It's a terrible ride. And it's hilarious because that was Mark and Mariah's... first impression of a ride at Disney.
And it broke down.
And it broke down.
In the middle. This wasn't the same trip, but...
No.
This, yeah, it was... We, unfortunately, had to sit through the whole ride the first time that we went. Wasn't that when it rained, too?
Oh, it poured.
And Matt's worst fear...
Yes.
His biggest, like, pet peeve is poncho people. The people who, like, wear ponchos in the parks.
Well, it's not wearing ponchos in the parks. It's the people who wear ponchos on rides.
Oh.
And in particular, when it's not raining. Like, you see people going on Splash Mountain, or even, like...
Trying to defend yourself.
No, like, you see somebody going into Grand Fiesta Tour, and they have to get, like... You're walking through the Mexican Pavilion, they see, oh, this is a boat ride? I want to put my freaking poncho on. It's like, you realize you're going, like... 5 miles an hour, not even.
Same thing. I'm still gonna, or like on Splash Mountain or something.
Even on Splash Mountain. Like, I just, like.
I still associate you with, like, hating all poncho people.
Oh, I just don't like wearing them. I think they're super uncomfortable.
I feel like,
in the heat, it's just disgusting because they stick to you and it's plastic. Yeah. And
it rained, like, for a good while. Like, we didn't really get to enjoy too much.
No. No, so it wasn't a great first impression.
We became poncho people.
Yeah, and it was one of those crazy things where we didn't plan ahead, where we didn't have ponchos.
So we had to buy the like, $20 ponchos.
Yeah, the Disney overpriced ponchos with Mickey Mouse on the back.
The ones that you're never going to wear again in your life, and you still spend, like, $20
So that was unfortunate.
Yeah.
But then I think we went to... Tragic. I think... So, we ate at Yorkshire, the little fish shop in...
Yeah, we had soggy fish and chips.
Yes.
It wasn't their fault. It really was just, like, raining.
Yeah.
Like, all day.
And you weren't 21 at that point, so we couldn't really do any of the drinking stuff in Epcot. So you couldn't really indulge in that until we went the next time.
Yeah.
So, from there, we went to Magic Kingdom.
Uh-huh.
And...
What time...
I mean, we probably got to Magic Kingdom around 6:30 or 7, I would say. Yeah. I mean, we recorded an episode.
Tired.
Like, that really details this from start to finish, you know, the minute.
This is just us, like, vaguely remembering what happened.
Yeah, and this also happened almost 3 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
So, that's something to keep in mind, too. Like,
so, end of the day in Magic Kingdom. Did probably as much as we could, because Magic Kingdom always has my favorite rides, personally.
So what is your favorite ride? In all of the parks, what's your favorite ride?
Probably Flight of Passage. But as a total of available rides in a single park, I think Magic Kingdom has the best selection. Because you got Splash Mountain, you got Space Mountain, you got Big Thunder, which is fun.
Seven Dwarves, if you don't have to wait. It's just because we had one bad experience.
It's because we had several bad experiences. It's underwhelming.
It is.
It's like a kiddie coaster.
It is. And that's...
It's not worth the hype. Don't get in line unless you have a fast pass.
Right. Or, in another case, kind of jumping trip to trip here, don't ever ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train right after you ride Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yeah. That's true. But even talking about, so when Seven Dwarfs just opened, this was...
So it opened...
This was my first trip.
It opened in 2014 or 2015. Our first trip was 2017.
Okay. So not when it first opened, but when it was still fresh in the mind of the public. Matt, I think you really wanted to ride it because it was new.
I had never ridden it.
And it was our first trip together.
Yes.
This trip that I'm remembering. And we didn't have a fast pass for it. And we get in line. And we're in the line. And it's, outside. And we're like, oh, this can't be that bad. It must be, just inside.
I think it was posted at, 80 minutes. So it was, an hour and 20 minutes. And
yeah, and we were like, it's worth it. Let's do
this. This was our first trip, too. I was definitely not the Disney planner that I am now.
Yeah.
I had not been there. My trip before that was in 2013, and that was a high school trip, so I just kind of wandered around and did whatever I wanted and kind of just stumbled upon everything. But this trip, our first trip together, we made our fast passes the night before because we bought the tickets through the resort that we stayed at.
Yeah, so we got fast passes.
Yes. So that was definitely, the first thing, because we had to wait almost an hour for Splash Mountain that day, I remember. We had a fast pass for Space Mountain, but then we wanted to ride Seven Dwarfs because it still is the newest ride in the park.
Yeah. Well, and here's really why I have a bone to pick with that ride, is because we were waiting outside, and we eventually get up to the part where you go inside, and that was probably, an hour wait, I would say.
Yeah.
And we get inside, and we see, a line that's twice as long as what was in... on the outside.
Yeah,
like,
it
was so deceiving.
Yeah.
And, I don't care about all the little cues that they have set up where you can,
it's the mine for gems. Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's rude. It's a slap in the face. It's like, you're going to stay here for another 2 hours and
it
your feet are going to hurt.
Those are, a catch-22, almost, where it's great for the little kids, but it also... holds up the line to
extent. The people who are... Because I remember, you swipe on the screens or something.
That's Winnie the Pooh.
No, for the diamonds.
Okay.
You're almost, sifting for whatever you call... I don't know. Something that in the... For Seven Dwarves. And I remember people would just, stay at the screens. Because they were it's a game. So they wouldn't even, move up.
Yeah, no. But we ended up waiting... and to preface this, we got in line at, I don't know, probably 7:45 or so. Mm-hmm. And the fireworks were supposed to start at, 9:15 that night. So...
What time did you say we got in line?
I think... I don't know. Maybe it was earlier. I feel like we waited, 3 hours.
We did wait, 3 hours. That's why I'm angry.
So it must have been like 6 something, because we didn't get off that ride until like 8:55.
It was literally minutes before, because we didn't even the ways to get to the front of the castle were
all blocked off. Yeah. And this would have been the only time that we had been at the parks together that we would have been able to see Wishes, which was the fireworks show at Magic Kingdom before Happily Ever After started, like 2 months later that year.
Yeah. See, but this actually made it on my list for like my favorite moments, because even though we were stuck at the back of the castle, it was still like my first like complete day in Disney. It was my first complete like impression of Magic Kingdom.
Well, this is our very first trip.
Yeah.
Not our 4 parks in 1 day
trip. We bounced.
Yeah. So
they got the gist of that trip.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was my first real impression of like a day in Disney and kind of like the magic and to see, and I'm a sucker for fireworks. I love the 4th of July and fireworks in general. And even though I was like craning my neck to see them because we were really like right behind the castle.
Yeah.
Like I thought it was still very, very magical. So it made my top 5 list.
I'm kind of bummed that we didn't get to see Wishes just to have like a fair comparison. I've seen Wishes myself, or had seen on my previous 2 trips that I'd gone with my family in 2005 and whenever I went in high school, I believe 2013. So I would have seen it both times, but I really do wish that I would have been able to see it to really appreciate it one last time, because I know that I would be much more inclined to defend it had I seen it as an adult, where, you know, I talk about Happily Ever After now, and I talk about it like it's the greatest thing in the world. Like, that, like, we're going to be talking about Happily Ever After later on, I'm sure. But it's just one of those things where I can't really compare the two in a totally honest sense, because of the fact that it's so ingrained in my brain now that Happily Ever After is just so freaking amazing.
Yeah.
So that's just my kind of caveat on that. But what else was on your list of favorite memories? I know we've kind of jumped around a lot.
Well, backtracking a little bit, because we did mention Flight of Passage. Flight of Passage was something that we've experienced, I think, for 2 or 3 trips now? 2 trips?
We've done it. I mean, I've done it a few more times than you, just because I've gone on a few solo trips. But the first time we rode, because our first trip in March of 2017 that we were just talking about, that was also a few months before Pandora even opened. Mm-hmm. And we went to Animal Kingdom for a day and Magic Kingdom for a day on that trip. So we went back the following March, in March of 2018, and we did Animal Kingdom for a day again, and we also did Magic Kingdom for a day. And I was lucky enough to get a fast pass for Flight of Passage. And I don't know how we did it, or how I did it, but we were staying off property. We got to book fast passes 30 days out, and somehow I got a fast pass for Flight of Passage 30 days out. At that time, like, you can sometimes not even get them 60 days out. Like, we experienced that with my parents.
Yeah.
We weren't able to get a fast pass for Flight of Passage. So, it was at, like, 8:45 at night. Mm-hmm. And it was probably one of the last fast pass windows that they had. But I remember waiting. Like, we walked into the land earlier that day and just kind of looked around to see it in the daytime, take a couple pictures. And then we didn't really do... I think we might have rode Naughty River, maybe. Just to see what it was like.
I think we did it after, to be honest.
Yeah, because it would have been a super quick wait.
Yeah.
At that point.
Because it was so late. I think it was one of the like the last things that we did. And like, it was nice. It was pretty. It was, I mean, it is what it is. Like, anyone who's ridden it knows, like, it's not a thrill ride by any means. But I think it's really funny, like, walking up to Flight of Passage for the first time, and you see all those signs everywhere that's like, if you're afraid of heights, and they list all of these different things.
Like, if you're claustrophobic,
or like, if you're motion sick. Ride this.
Yeah.
And we Matt actually debated for a minute.
To be fair, I actually went back and listened to a lot of our old episodes just to kind of familiarize myself with things that we had talked about previously. Mm-hmm. And one of those things was that trip, they had just started that week handing out physical cards to guests regarding all of these, you know, warnings for Flight of Passage. Mm-hmm. So they handed us a physical card. It's not just the signs that are posted in the queue now. It was like a physical card that they hand you as you walk into the line. It's like, if you have a fear of, you know, all these things that we listed previously. And I'm honestly terrified of heights. Like, I deal with it on thrill rides just because I want to experience the thrill rides. Mm-hmm. But
well, for that... Well, and claustrophobia. I don't know if claustrophobia is on there, but...
I think it is because they strap you in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Because it, like, comes up on your back.
Like, Matt's very claustrophobic. Yeah. So, like, there was a like, a brief minute where he was like, I don't know if I can ride this. And I was like, we're riding this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and thank God we did. Because that, I mean, it made both of our top five lists of, I mean, not only just, like, the first experience, but, like, any experience after that. Because it's such a, like, breathtaking ride. Like, it's a thrill ride. It's very immersive.
I think my favorite time riding that, well, obviously the first time was, like, there's nothing like the first time riding Flight of Passage. Like, it was just phenomenal.
And not knowing what to expect. It was really cool.
Like, it was insane. But I remember riding, like, getting off the first time, I was, like, shaking because I was so, like, just amped. This is the best ride that I've ever ridden.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't gotten to experience
the new Star Wars
ride. Yes, I can't think of the name off the top of my head. This is terrible.
I couldn't even. Rise of the Resistance.
Is that
really what it's called?
It is. Rise of the Resistance. Oh my gosh. Thank you.
I deserve a race.
Yes, I kept thinking Smuggler's Run, which I've ridden that one, but Rise of the Resistance.
Isn't Rise of the Resistance the movie?
No.
I just know that because of the ride.
Yes.
Don't put that in the episode.
But yeah, so I think Flight of Passage, just the experience the first time, and also whenever we got to do Flight of Passage, whenever we went on the trip with Mark and Mariah, mm-hmm. So we went to Animal Kingdom a full day with my brother and his girlfriend, and Mariah had never been to, like, Mark hadn't been since 2005, and he's not a huge Disney fan, so it was cool to go back with him and Mariah and just kind of experience that. And I remember we rope dropped Flight of Passage.
Did we rope drop?
Yeah, we rope dropped Flight of Passage. And then we had a fast pass at like 11 that morning for Flight of Passage as well.
So we rode it twice.
And I remember, like, the first time that we rode it, when we rope dropped it that morning, I didn't really watch the ride as much. I just kept looking over at, like, Mark and Mariah. And the entire time, Mark's face was just, like, so much in awe. Like, his mind was freaking blown. That is such a...
Especially for you, because, like, it's stuff that you've experienced, like, again and again. It's, like, it makes it special, like, that first time, like...
Yeah.
Every time when you can see someone enjoying it as much as, you know, it's, like, a brand new experience for them.
Yeah.
You're, like, living vicariously through them.
Honestly, though, it's just so... Like, it's that Disney magic that you... Yeah. Like, come to appreciate as you've done things. Mm-hmm. It's the as we, like, have mentioned so many times, it's the sharing the magic aspect.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, you know, experiencing the parks through somebody else's eyes is just as exciting as it is sometimes experiencing it through your own.
And, you know what, another thing that, like, made my list that, not so much on the thrill and the excitement of what Disney has to offer, but I really enjoy, like, the downtime too, and, like, the quieter moments and the moments that you kind of get to yourself. Like, we have had the opportunity to eat at a lot of the different places, which is already, like...
I wouldn't even say a lot. Like...
Well, that's true.
We have only, you know, scraped the surface what Disney has to offer from
and
a food perspective.
I mean, like, we've gotten, like, so, like, quick meals and... So, like, we've gotten quick meals places and, like, appetizers at, like, booths and stuff. But, like, some of my favorite memories still, I mean, like, I love the food there. I'm not super adventurous with food. Like, I feel like I've gotten a burger or something, like, almost everywhere that we've gone.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you have.
But specifically what comes to mind is we actually went to, like, off, out of the parks, and we went to Sanaa.
Yes.
Which is in the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Correct.
We went there for a dinner, lunch? I think it was lunch.
I think it was lunch.
It was like a brunch situation. And we did their bread service, which was super, super good. And we got meals and mimosas. I was 21 at the time.
You got mimosas. I got beer.
Oh.
Yeah. I got beer. I got my Safari Amber Ale, which is my favorite Disney beer.
That's right.
That's their house brew at Animal Kingdom, so that's super cool.
Yeah. And it was just such a good experience to, like, kind of soak in all of what we've been experiencing at the parks, but make it just about, like, me and Matt in the moment. Like, it was just us enjoying and reflecting and not having, like, any worries. And, like, we've eaten at a few other places. I think on our first trip, we went to Yak and Yeti.
Yes.
Or maybe that was our second trip.
Because our first trip, we waited hours.
I was hangry.
Oh, my, you were so mad. I thought you were never going to want to go to
Parks. This was also at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, I thought you were never going to want to go to Parks again. Harambe Market.
Yeah, we just waited too long, and I was hangry.
It was bad. It was so, so bad.
But once we learned to, like, plan ahead and kind of look for those sit-down meals wherever we could, I think it was a lot more... It just became part of the planning at that point, and it wasn't like it was taking away from our trip. It was just... like an added bonus, like it was another...
And it was always a nice break in the day.
Always.
Where, you know, it's always nice if you have a long park day, like, you know you're going to be doing rope drop to close. It's always so nice to schedule some kind of, you know, sit-down restaurant.
Even just to rest your feet.
Yes.
Like, just to get out of the heat, like, into the air conditioning and just relax for...
And even some of the quick service places that we've eaten that aren't necessarily, you know, high quality food, but, you know, they get the job done. You can sit down.
Yeah, it's not like it's table service, but it's still good.
Like, Magic Kingdom has a lot of quick service.
Yeah.
Like, there's stuff that we haven't done, but there's also, like, we've done Pecos Bill's quite a few times.
I enjoy Pecos Bill's.
And we've also done Colonial Harbor House. We did that with
my
parents.
I was thinking of that one. They had really good... what did you get? Like a lobster roll?
I got
roll?
A lobster roll. It's not as good as the one at Food and Wine, but...
I mean, I believe that, but it was still really good. Some of the other, like, sit-down places, though, that we've been... We went to the Grand Floridian and ate at their cafe.
Yep. And that was... That's probably the best single meal that I've had on Disney property.
And that was for, like, a breakfast brunch.
Yeah, we did brunch there. Yeah.
And then I think right after that, we went over to, where did we go? What was next? To the bar.
We rode the monorail loop and went over to the Polynesian.
Yeah.
And sat at the bar.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I got the lobby. I think there's a picture somewhere, but of me holding this, like, pineapple drink.
That's what I got.
Oh.
Yeah, I got
what did I get?
I think.
See, I am,
you
I
got
don't
some
even know what my
kind
memories
of fruity
are.
Mixed drink. Like, I'll post a bunch of pictures in almost like a blog post that'll go along with the episode on the website, just to give it a little more context to what we're talking about. And I'll link all of that in the show notes as well.
But I mean, I definitely love, like, the food. And another part that we haven't really mentioned yet was, like, the characters. And, like, I personally am not a huge fan of the characters.
Yeah.
Like, I've taken some pictures. It's just not my jam. Like, it's just not something that... And, like, we've talked about it before. Like, little kids, like, I think I would enjoy it a lot more, like, vicariously through them. And I also enjoyed it when Matt had the opportunity to, like, take some of his, like, bucket list pictures with some of the characters. I felt like you were the kid in the situation, and I was very proud of you.
I mean... Honestly, I think, I mean, you're right. I was like a kid in those situations. Like it was just freaking amazing because the one, it was our second trip. It was something that I had wanted to do for literally 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like a super, super big bucket list item for me, where in 2013, I feel like I have told this story on the podcast so many times, and I've told it on another podcast, on the Disney DNA podcast. It was the first podcast that I had ever been a guest on, and it was right after this trip. And I remember that was like the highlight story that I got to tell on their show about my trip, or our trip, I should say. So it was, like I said, 5 years in the making. When I went in high school, we went to Disney Springs, and we went to Animal Kingdom for half day. That was our first day in the parks, and we went to Disney Springs that night. And this was in 2013, to preface. So at the time, it was Downtown Disney, I should say, instead of Disney Springs. So we went to World Disney, and I ended up buying a Simba stuffed animal, because the only other time I had been to Disney World was when I was 12, 10 years old, something like that. So I was under the impression that they never move the characters from park to park.
Yeah.
So whenever I went the first time in 2005, I was able to meet Rafiki in Magic Kingdom. So I was thinking when I went in 2013, you know, oh, it would be amazing. I'll buy this Simba stuffed animal. I'll meet him in Magic Kingdom when we go and have him hold up my Simba stuffed animal while I'm standing there. And it'll just be like an amazing picture that I can cherish forever. We go to Magic Kingdom a couple days later. I talk to a cast member. I'm like, do you know where I can find Rafiki so that I can take a picture with him? And because this was before I had a smartphone, so I had to like go and actually talk to people. So she was like, are you talking about here or are you talking about at Animal Kingdom? I was like, you know, preferably here since I'm here. She was like, well, I hate to say it, but you can't meet him here. I was like, oh man, when did that happen? She's like, that's been it's been that way for a couple years now. I was like, yikes. Oh man,
crush your dreams.
So I was heartbroken at that time. Fast forward to 2017, my first trip with Tori. We go to Animal Kingdom. I see that Rafiki's still being able to, you know, be a meetable character. Oh my god, be a meetable character at Animal Kingdom. So I think about it. I still have this Simba stuffed animal. And I'm like, you know, we've only been dating for like, I don't know, a little over a year, year and a half at this point. Almost 2 years, actually. So I'm like, nah, you know what? It's good. I'll wait. We'll go back someday. Maybe I'll do it again. So I didn't take the Simba with me the first trip that we ever went on. But we were still together, 2018. I was like, you know what? I'm taking it. We're going back to Disney. We're going to Animal Kingdom. I'm taking this stuffed animal and I'm going to get my Rafiki picture. So 5 years later, we go over to Rafiki's Planet Watch. We take the train, you know, go way out of our way to meet Rafiki. And I pull out this stuffed animal that I've had for 5 years at this point. And the cast member who was friends with Rafiki was so excited whenever I pulled this Simba stuffed animal out. And, like, ran over to me, like, immediately picked up the stuffed animal and, like, held him up like Rafiki does in the movie. And it made me so, so, so freaking happy.
Yeah.
Because it was like, oh my god, I've waited 5 years for this, and it's finally happening. And we bought Memory Maker for that trip, so It was like, all of the PhotoPass pictures were just there, and they were amazing.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And then you had another instance, like, just like that. I feel like it was, like 15 years in the making.
Honestly, almost. So we went the following year, 2019, with my parents, which we've talked about a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other time, my mom had gone when she was very, very young. Probably, I think like 1977 is what she said. So only a few years after Magic Kingdom even opened. But the only time that my dad had ever gone was when we all went in 2005 as a family. So we went back with my mom and dad, just the two of us and them, in July of 19.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Magic Kingdom, and I remembered, you know, whenever I was younger, I loved meeting the characters. Like, it was just so special for me, my first trip. Like, I got to meet Mickey Mouse, I had my autograph book. Looking back on it, I was just one of those really stupid kids, like, that I would hate today. Like, I would hate myself. I don't know why.
Didn't you have a Nickelodeon autograph book?
Yes.
In the Disney park?
Yes. So, we had gone to Universal the day before, and I was very big into SpongeBob. Like, SpongeBob was my obsession whenever I was little. And this was at the time whenever, you know, the Jimmy Neutron ride was huge at Universal. Like, everything was themed to SpongeBob because that was, and still is to this day, honestly, Nickelodeon's biggest seller. And the first ride that we go on is the Jimmy Neutron ride. That, like, he goes through all these Nicktoons and whatever, you know. And you can meet SpongeBob in the gift shop after. So, obviously, I was, like, over the moon. Like, I get to meet SpongeBob. This is amazing. I need to get an autograph book. So, as Disney does, you know, they let you out in a gift shop that's themed to the ride that you were just on.
Mm-hmm.
So, we go in, and there's a SpongeBob, like, an autograph book with SpongeBob right on the front. I was like, I need to have this. So, you know, probably ask my parents, can I get this? Can I get this? You know, and they're like, sure, if that's what you want to spend your money on, you only get, you know, you're going to buy something in the first store you go to? I'm like, yes, absolutely. That's how I am. I still am. So, I buy this SpongeBob autograph book, and I just used it the whole trip. So, I was that kid that I hate today, like I said, that would take, you know, a non-Disney autograph book to a Disney park and ask Mickey Mouse to sign my SpongeBob book. So,
anyway, I think you're getting a little off topic.
Very off topic. But yeah, so I met a lot of my favorite characters. Like, we had talked about Rafiki, Timon, King Louie, Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Pluto, all of the Fab Five, and then Winnie the Pooh and Tigger, who were my just absolute favorite. And I think I actually met Eeyore and Piglet too at the time. But it was just like, I remember my mom took my brother on a couple rides, and I wasn't a big rider, so my dad took me to meet characters whenever my brother was riding different things. So there was a picture of my dad and I with both Winnie the Pooh and Tigger that he has had in his different offices and on his desk and in his desk for, like, because he's a teacher, so he's had it, you know, in school with him since 2005. So whenever we went back in 2019, I was like, you know what, we got to recreate these pictures. And fortunately, Pooh and Tigger meet together outside of the Winnie the Pooh ride currently. Well, not currently, in the COVID state. At the time, they were. So we walked up, and I showed them the picture on my phone. I was like, hey, can we, you know, like, can we recreate this picture, essentially? And they were just, like, the cast members who were friends with Winnie the Pooh and Tigger were just so accommodating, mm-hmm. and
I think they were excited. They were,
oh, absolutely.
I feel like they, all of the, like, the friends of the cast members, or of the characters, get very excited when it's something that, like, obviously you care about it. It's not like you're just getting some generic picture. Like, it has more meaning behind it than that.
Yeah, and it was just so cool because, like, even the photographers were like, oh my god, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, we're gonna get these shots for you. And I have, like, this whole shelf of just Disney memorabilia, and that is the only picture that I have framed on that shelf, is the recreation of my dad and I with Pooh and Tigger. And we have our Love of the Mouse shirts on, so it's even better.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that. But yeah, that was just incredible. I, like, because those are, like, you know, once in a lifetime experiences, where if we could go in 10 years and say we have kids and, like, my dad is able to go on a trip with us and we can recreate that and add a future kid in there, that would be just, oh my god. Like, aww. That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
That would be.
I don't want to keep this episode rolling too long, so I think we should wrap it up for this one and kind of split this into a two-part episode where we can kind of revisit and finish on episode 41, just to kind of allow people to take in all of the information that we're spouting right now, because I feel like we've kind of gone off the rails quite a bit. So I guess we'll be back on our next episode to kind of finish up our thoughts and favorite memories, just to kind of split it up into a two-part series, which wasn't the plan initially, but
we talked a lot. We had a lot of small memories that I feel like were us just trying to remember things from our trips. So it was,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we'll be back on our next episode. In the meantime, you can reach us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Love of the Mouse Multimedia. I almost said podcast. We've rebranded to Love of the Mouse Multimedia. So you can find us on Twitter at LOTM Multimedia, Instagram at LOTM Multimedia, Facebook, Twitter, or Facebook, YouTube, and Pinterest. You can search Love of the Mouse Multimedia. Connect with us there. If you're interested in talking Disney, you know, reaching out to us, rating, reviewing, all of that fun stuff, you can find all of that on our website, loveofthemousepodcast.com, mm-hmm. and reach us there. But I guess until the next episode, yeah. Do you have anything else, Tori?
Nope. Thanks for listening.
Awesome. So we hope you've enjoyed listening to the Love of the Mouse podcast. Until you hear us again, thank you and good night.